Good morning, everybody. Hey, good to see you out and about this morning. Are you, have you been thinking about the Lord today? Have your thoughts been directed in His direction this morning? Well, I hope and trust that they have. I hope that He has been foremost on your mind for the morning here, and that you are ready to hear from Him, ready to respond as He would have you to respond in all of that. What do you think?
I think we sang a lot of songs about His name. There's a great scripture that says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen. That's the truth. That is the truth this morning. Well, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 today. I'm going to bring a little bit of a reminder to you out of about three verses out of this particular passage, and see where we go from there. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look in beginning in verse 14, and we're going to take a look at the question that we have before us this morning: are you an optimist or a pessimist? And then I want to move from there over to kind of letting us know what we probably ought to be in all of that. Let's do something depressing before we read. You want to? Let's do something depressing so we'll have something to be excited about later. All right? Let's assess for just a couple of minutes the world's situation. Assess the world's situation for just a minute. Tell me what you think a good word for the world's situation that we have before us right now would be. Okay. But the current state of affairs in the world. Chaotic, disastrous, a mess, scary, kind of hope is wandering in all of that. It's hard to be optimistic when we read the headlines every day. I just went out this morning and just kind of flashed through Yahoo and looked at the headlines that were there. And the top three had to do with the morals of our nation and the crummy immorality that we have. The next one was terrorism. The next one was lawmakers fighting over everything. It was on down to about the seventh or eighth slide till I got to something hopeful there, and that was that the Cowboys might be drafting some people that that'll help them. Seven or eight slides into it, I got a little hope out of everything that took place there. We got a global economy that's tanking. We have nations that are afraid of terrorism and terroristic thugs and killers. We've got superbugs and deadly viruses. We've got the wrong people getting nuclear weapons. We have Christians being killed on a global scale. Folks have lost or are losing faith in our government. We feel unled. We feel overwhelmed. We feel angry that nothing right is getting done. And there is an emotion. There is a pervasive feeling that is coming upon this nation right now. There's a covering on this nation there is a sentiment that is moving across and seeping into everything, and it's a negative emotion. If it hasn't already covered everything, it is fast approaching that point. We're living in a strange time. These are strange days that we're living in. I don't know how else to say it. When you look through history, there have been times of different things, but this is just a strange one, a strange situation that we find ourselves in. Are things getting worse or are things getting better? Am I being optimistic or am I being pessimistic at this moment? What are you being at this moment? Are you being optimistic about these things that we have before us, or are you being pessimistic about the things that are out in front of us? What should we be? Well, let's take a look if we can. And we're going to take a look in Ephesians chapter 5. And in these three verses, I want to take a look at that issue. Three verses, and let those verses give us an answer to what we have before us here. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, and looking through verse 17 here. Let's read those responsively. I'll read one, you read the next one. I'll read the next one, you read the next one, okay? I'll go first. Verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, there it is right there. There's your answer right there on top of everything that we have. First thing I want to look at is I want to look at verse 15 there. And in verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How would you walk if you were walking on a very narrow path, a narrow path on the side of a steep and treacherous mountain? How would you walk on that path? Very, very carefully. That's the word circumspectly. When you see that word circumspectly there, and it tells us that we're to walk in that fashion, what it's really pointing to is the image that I just painted. A very narrow path carved out of the side of a mountain, rugged terrain, a very steep and treacherous mountain with death awaiting over the edge. We would place our steps very carefully as we would walk up that mountain. That treacherous trail. That, my folks, my friends, is the idea of circumspectly there. You keep your eyes on your steps. You keep your eyes on your business. You would keep your body under control. You would go slowly and carefully and methodically up through a path that, like I have just described there. You would walk circumspectly. Here's the deal. We're living way too fast. We are living entirely too fast. Our lives are moving entirely too fast in too many different directions, and we are not being careful about where we're placing each step. We're not walking circumspectly at this moment as a nation. We are charging headlong into something that is going to be disastrous. We need to begin to walk the way the Lord wants us to walk through this life. We're living too fast. We're making too many quick decisions. We speak too fast. We move too fast. We react too fast to everything. We answer before we even hear the question. Gotta go right now. And that's the way we live our life. Just running headlong into one situation and then another and then another. We want to right all the wrongs of the world, but we don't want to think through our words. We don't want to think through the actions that we're going to use to get that done. We go before we're ready. We speak when we ought to be listening. We teach before we've been taught. And we build high before we build deep. We're not moving circumspectly. It's a long way to fall when we get ahead of God. It's a long ways down. You get ahead of him, and friend, you fall to your own peril. Take each step as it comes. Place each step carefully. Be still and know that he is God. This is the idea that is contained in this first verse here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise individuals. Second verse there, 16, third on the page here. has another truth that we need to understand with regard to optimism and pessimism. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming talks about buying something back. Buy back the time because the days are evil. We need to be about the business of buying back time because the days that we're walking through are evil days. Evil abounds in this day. Would you disagree? Evil abounds. You and I have to walk circumspectly through each and every day. And as we do, we need to take advantage of each opportunity that we are given. Take advantage of the opportunity because the days are evil. And so this is what this is pointing at when it's talking about redeeming the time. It's saying that the days are evil, but there's going to be opportunity as you go through those days to buy back time. There's going to be opportunity for you to do the right thing. There's going to be opportunities for advancement of the gospel. There's going to be opportunities for you to grow in the proper fashion. You have to be aware and recognizing and observant in order to buy back the time that the Lord wants you to be buying back. These are desperate days. These are desperate times that we're living in. So these, as we walk through these desperate times, we need to give it our full attention. We need to be very careful about where we're placing our steps. Be careful about where we're going. Be careful about how we're going along this narrow path that we find ourselves on. And if we're paying attention properly, we will have opportunities to insert something life-changing into the surroundings or into the environment through which we pass. Paul wrote these words. And when he wrote these words, he was chained to a Roman guard. He was chained to a Roman guard in a Roman prison. All right? The guy that was running Rome at the time, there was a fellow by the name of Nero. Real nice chap. Unless you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, he blamed Christians for burning Rome. And he blamed them for it to such a degree that he decided that he would just eradicate the whole bunch of them. This is a bad time to be around. You know, we live in a rough time today. We live in evil times today. But I don't see people marching in here lining us up here. Lining us up and doing harm to us in this building here or in this country yet. Okay? And so this was a rough time that he's living in here. Chained to a Roman guard in a Roman prison with an emperor of the day that hated Christians and basically hated people for the most part. Morals, there was no morals in that day. We're talking about everybody living like an animal. Everybody did what animals do, just were animalistic in everything that they did. And this is the time that this is set in. Every step for a Christian in that day could be his last. Step out in public to go get some bread and you might not come home. You had to walk carefully. You had to talk carefully. You had to speak carefully. You had to present yourself very carefully in that day. And Paul is saying, walk circumspectly. Be careful how you do this. Be careful where you take your steps. And yet Paul continued to let his light shine. He continued to let folks know who he served, even though it imperiled his life. He continued to be on point because he also saw that even though the days were evil, there was great opportunity. There was great opportunity to reach people. And he could reach people that he could not reach at any other time because of where the Lord had placed him. And he saw that as opportunities. Here's a guy right here that was instrumental in the initialization of the church in Rome, even though he was a prisoner in Rome. Instrumental in all of that. He let his light shine. His life counted every day of it. Every day of his life counted up till the time that they took his head off. There's something that's not new. Huh? Here's a man that was beheaded for his faith, you see. He walked and he let his light shine every day, used every opportunity that he had. He redeemed the time. He bought back the time that he had. He recognized that there were opportunities that he couldn't share in any other way, in any other form, than in the way that he was there. And so he made the most of his time. Evil days tempt us to give in. We get tempted to give in the evil day. We get to thinking that things have gone just too far to make a difference in this world. Things have progressed to a point to where we just need to collapse back in on ourselves here, take care of old number one and forget about everything else, just self-preservation. And that's almost where we're at. We're almost at a point where we're just thinking self-preservation. Oh, my soul. There's never supposed to be a time where we're thinking self-preservation as the army, the church of the living God. There's never a time when we're to pull back in that fashion like that. Paul put himself out there on the front of these things, and he encourages us to do exactly the same thing. Listen, the things that makes it difficult for us to live as Christian are the things that also cause a Christian to shine. The things that make it difficult for us to operate are also the things that point us out. That point us out as us having something different than the world that is around us. It takes that difficulty for that to show up. And friend, when that shows up in a very dark world, it just shines bright. It just makes everybody sit up and notice. Everybody takes a notice. Everybody looks and says, look at that. Look at that right there. Look how they're handling that. Look how they're going through that. Look what's happening there. Look how they're dealing with these issues as they go through them. And if you're handling them carefully and walking the way that we need to be walking, then the world takes note. And friend, things can change as a result of that. It's when everything around us goes nuts that we have a unique opportunity to show the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. You're the light of the world. If you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world here this morning. And the darker the night, the brighter the light that shines. Verse 17. Here's another piece of it right here. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Christian, we have been given an awesome opportunity. As we walk through the steep path that we're on, as we walk through this narrow path, this dangerous path that we have before us here, we've been given a sneak peek. You've been given a sneak peek at what's on the other side of the mountain. Have you or haven't you not? Huh? You see, we're not walking blind through this thing. God has given us information. He has shown us what His mind is. He's shown us what His will is. He's shown us where all of this is going to wind up. He's shown us what the other side of that steep mountain is all about. And so we climb that thing, not climbing blindly, thinking that when we get to the top, we don't know what's over there. We know exactly what's on the other side. We know where we're headed. We know what the goal is. We know what the point of all of this is. We know in what direction. We know in whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that He's able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. We are persuaded of these things. We've been given a view from the top. Oh, that's the beautiful part. We've been given the view from the top before we ever start to climb. We get to look over into the promised land before we ever get started good. We get to take a look at the land that is flowing with milk and honey before we ever take that first circumspect step as a Christian. Our eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen. We know what's awaiting. We know what's coming. And as bad as all of this is, and as bad as all of this gets here around us, we can know that God is bringing it all to an expected end. You hear me? He's bringing it all to an expected end. Your life will come to an expected end. Everything comes to an expected end with Him. Understand by the books. Understand by the books, 66 of them, what the will of God is. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You can understand it. You have it. You have the mind of God right here. You can understand what His will for your life is. You can understand what His will for a nation is. You can understand what His will for a kingdom is, you see. You have it here in the books. The 66 of them that we have in the Holy Canon, you have the mind of God. You have the will of God. You have it so that you can understand it. Don't get stuck on Friday. Huh? Don't get stuck on Friday when everything around you seems to be falling apart or going to hell in a handbasket. Don't get stuck on Friday. Friday was a horrible day. Friday was the day they crucified my Lord. Friday was the day that He died on the cross. Friday was the day they jerked Him down, stabbed Him over there in a tomb. Friday was a bad day. We call it good. It wasn't so good. It was a bad day. It didn't become a good day till Sunday. You see, don't get stuck in the Fridays of this world. Don't get stuck in the hopelessness of Friday. Don't get stuck in the fear of Friday. Don't get stuck back here in Friday. Friend, Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming. And as we walk through the dark Fridays of our life, we need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk carefully, understanding what the will of God is, understanding where all of this is going, buying back the time, using the opportunities that He gives us for His glory, by His mercy and by His grace as we move through these perilous days and these perilous times. We don't get stuck in that Friday. We remember that there's a Sunday. How different was Sunday? Sun came up, shone into the mouth of the tomb where the stone had been rolled away. It was empty, and the world was full of life, full of hope. Once again, Jesus lives now, and He walks now, and He talks now, and He rules in the hearts of those that He calls His own. There's good news to share. There's good opportunities to share. Redeem the time that He's given us. Walk carefully, circumspectly through the narrow, treacherous parts of this life. And understand that God's got a plan, that He's been working and working. And understanding that He has a will for our life. He has a will for these things that are taking place. We live on this side of an empty tomb. Remember what side we live on. So I say this morning about optimism and pessimism. Pessimism has to go. Pessimism has to go. I prefer to be an optimistic realist. An optimistic realist. I understand what God has placed out in front of us. I understand that there are going to be bad days, that there are going to be evil times, and that things are going to get worse and worse. But at that same time, I also understand that God is giving us many grand and glorious opportunities to shine as lights in this world. And if we'll shine as lights in this world, we can reclaim ground. And reclaim ground that the evil has taken in this world. I'll tell you this, when light comes in, darkness has to flee. It cannot stay. And so we have this grand opportunity to do that day by day as we walk through here. We're to understand the will of God according to the books. According to the book you have before you, we're to understand the will of God. There are terrible days, and God has spoken about that. He has told us that in great detail. But as we see them unfold, we know that Jesus conquered the grave. And because of that, we who are born again shall live again. Beyond the trouble that's on the horizon is the promised land. We're to walk towards it. And we're to walk circumspectly. There are great days. These are great days. These are great days to be alive. There is great opportunity in this day if we'll seize the opportunity that we have. These are exciting days to be alive. These are amazing days to be alive. These are frightening days. These are scary days. But ladies and gentlemen, these are also exciting days for the Christian today. And as we see these dark clouds of evil that are gathering on the horizon around us, I say this to you this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. For as he has gone away to prepare a place for you, he will come again and receive you unto himself, that where he is, ye shall be also. Let not your heart be troubled. A fellow by the name of Paul Harvey, anybody ever hear of him? He made this statement one time. He said, in times like these, it helps to recall that there have always been times like these. There's nothing new. There have been evil days since the beginning. And in those evil days, God's left us a plan. He's left us a plan to walk through those days, to walk carefully, to redeem the time, to understand that God's working a plan and he's moving towards it. It may not be on your speed or at your time frame, but he's moving forward with that. And I'll tell you this, God's promises never do change. They never do change. Not once, not ever. Look right here for just a second. Let me show you some stuff. Read them with me. The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and I'll prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I'll exalt him. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord, thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He'll not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Amen. How about this? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in the day of trouble. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Promises of God are sure all the way through. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. That's my God right there. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who? Who? Nobody can be against us. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will leave you nor forsake you. The promises of our God. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in the world than he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Revelation 22 and 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Who said he was coming? He did. He said he was coming. And that's something that we need to be looking forward. Listen to me. That's the will of God, you see. He has laid down his will. We understand, according to the books, what his will is. He's coming. He's returning. He's coming back. The promises have been given. Everything is laid out for us. Yes, it may be a tough day today, and the path may get narrow and steep and more of a climb than we want to climb. But friends, we've got to dig deep and build deep the foundation that we have so that we can go to the heights that God wants us to go to. Dig down before you go up. Be encouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. Watch your step. Watch your step. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're doing. Slow down. Redeem the time that the Lord has given you. Do God's will each day. Start today and finish the day with God. Move with him through this day. And things will be different in your day. Opportunities open up. You can shine as lights in the firmament. Build deep so you can build tall. Slow down. Return to obedience. Return to obedience. Slow down. Quit moving ahead of God. Quit getting off out there where you think you're supposed to be and get back where He wants you to be. He's got a plan. Are you in it or are you above it? Are you trying to get around it or are you just hanging on off the edge of that thing over there? Huh? Get back on the path. Get to walking. Walk careful and go the right direction. Last one that I've got for you today. One of my favorites right here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you're doing and where you're going and how you're going about it. Friend, if you're going about it the way the Lord wants you to, it's not in vain. There are going to be results that come as a result of what you get involved in. Hello? You can rest assured that's the will of God concerning these things. According to the will of God, which is according to the book. Work things out according to the book and everything works out the way it's supposed to. Oh, we live in tough times. We live in rough days. We live in evil days. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean that we can't be optimistic, realistic yet optimistic about what our role is and what we can accomplish in these days. Much needs to be accomplished. Slow down and return to obedience with the Lord. Can you sing it with me? Can you sing that with me? Go with me. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's your marching orders for the week, marching orders for the day. Grab a hold of the little old simple truths that we've got in Ephesians chapter 5 and those three little old bitty verses right there. Be careful as you go. Redeem the time that you have. Oh, my soul, and remember that God's got a plan that He's working. And He's already let you in on it. Isn't that good? All the way around. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we've had to come into Your Word. Lord, just come into Your house and, Lord, be with each other and help each other and encourage each other. Thank You for Sunday school and all the good teaching that took place there. And, Lord, how that can apply to our lives and make us different. And, oh, God, that's all You want. You want us to be different and want us to be obedient. Lord, help us to do that so that we can walk circumspectly through this week. God, looking around with our eyes wide open for the opportunities that You place before us and understand, Lord, that You're working a plan and that we're part of it. Thank You, Father, for all that You do. Thank You, Father, for all You're going to accomplish. Thank You, Lord, for the peace and the hope, Lord God, that You give us day by day, even in the most troubled of times, even in the most evil of days. Lord, that peace that passes all understanding. Thank You so much for that, Lord. I thank You most of all for Jesus and the way, Lord, that Your Son accomplished these things. Lord, that we might have this way, this peace. And Lord, I just ask You, Father, that, Lord, for those that may be troubled here this morning, I pray, God, that You'd bring that peace that passes understanding. I pray, God, for those that are troubled about their soul's destiny, Lord, that You might do that in Your way through salvation this morning. Lord, that You might bring that individual to the brink of that edge of walking with You and or walking away, and show, Lord God, that there is a great peril to walking away. I pray, God, that You bring folks into Your bosom, that You bring folks to Yourself, that You draw, that You work, that You close the net, and Lord, that You might even do that here this morning. Father, I'm not going to presume to tell You what to do or how to do it all. I'm just asking You, Father, if You would do it, and I pray, Lord, that You will. Now, Lord, we leave these things with You, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And amen.